The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Well, now we're joined by Cameron Hill from Off the Ball. You have a very old and crusty piece of audio for us.
Yeah, I had to blow the dust off this one. This is from 1964. It's an interview by RTE's Sean Egan with Marxist revolutionary Che Guevara back in 1964. Air hostess from Aer Lingus, Philema Archer, is translating here. Apologies in advance for the quality of this. It's quite old, but let's have a listen.
Is he going to talk to Mr. Ben Bella?
Va a hablar con Señor Ben Bella?
Probablemente.
Probably.
What does he hope to talk about?
Que va a hablar
de qué? Del tiempo.
Ah, he said he's going to talk about the weather.
Hope they have better weather than they have in Ireland.
Okay, scratchy audio, but nonetheless, the voice of Che Guevara as translated by an Aer Lingus air hostess.
Yeah, because I thought for this week's slot, I'd look back at Che Guevara, obviously famous Marxist revolutionary, symbol of the left from the poster by Albert Corda way back in the 1960s. Interestingly, a big lover of rugby, and with the week that's in it, with Argentina coming tomorrow night, I thought it'd be good to delve into his passion for the sport.
Now, he was Argentinian, in spite of the fact we associate him with Cuba, but Argentinian. So tell me about his roots.
So he has Irish roots. He was born on the 14th of June, 1928, in Rosario, Argentina, a middle-class area of Argentina, to Ernesto Guevara Lynch and Celia de la Serna. So Lynch there gives it away. He's five generations removed from the founder of the South American branch of the family, Patrick Lynch, who was born in 1715 and came from County Galway, Clare Galway, in fact. And Guevara was part of the anglicised middle class of Buenos Aires, of which rugby was the sport of choice, as opposed to soccer. We obviously associate Argentina more with soccer, but rugby was there too. And Guevara's parents were members of the San Isidro Club. So Guevara took up rugby as a schoolboy. His asthma proved to be a major obstacle for him, but his passion for the sport was undiminished. When his father advised he give up the sport due to his breathing difficulties, he replied, "I love rugby. Even if it kills me one day, I'm happy to play it." So that sort of philosophy on a lot of things.
Now you've another clip to play us.
Yeah, so apart from asthma, as a former coach of Guevara in Buenos Aires explained, there were other physical aspects that held young Ernesto back.
He enjoyed playing rugby, but he was handicapped because of the fact that he was not the average size of his age. And each time that I had to put him out of the team, I had to tell the brother that he had to play twice as much if he didn't want me to put Ernesto Che Guevara out of the team. Oh yes, he was brave. He was nice, he was aggressive, he tackled very deeply, very strongly.
So he was a good tackler.
He was a good tackler. It's a bit of a humiliation to be told that unless your brother plays double the amount that you do, you're not going to be on the team. That's kind of hard.
Is there any archive of him in photographs actually playing rugby?
Yeah, there are pictures from the time showing him wearing a scrum cap. So scrum half was this position. The game's stop-start rhythm allowed him to periodically step away, use an inhaler or inject himself. So he found a way around that. And rugby also appeared to help him hone his guerrilla skills. So his biographer, Jorge Castaneda, noted the game offered young Guevara the great advantage of being more static and strategic, less mobile and tactical. It offered him an opportunity to develop his skills as a leader and strategist and allow him to play without running from one end of the field to the other throughout a match, thus preventing him from tiring too early. So in French rugby, the scrum half is known as le petit général. So you can see why that position would have really helped someone
Antoine,
like him.
Antoine.
Yeah.
Le petit général. Now, he actually brought out a rugby magazine.
Yeah, in 1951, a magazine called Tackle. He used the platform to maybe hone some of his political leanings. So he attacked the conservative values of Argentinian rugby and by extension, the Argentinian establishment. So when French and English clubs would come over, he argues that, well, well-played rugby is spectacular, but a closed game, as is usual in our provinces, if people could see teams playing a more open game, then rugby would command more supporters. And his overtures actually put the fledgling publication on the radar of General Perón and his police force, and they closed down production of it after 4 months.
Now, here's something. Did he ever get to play against Ireland?
That's an interesting question. So Ireland embarked on a tour of South America in 1952. They were due to play Chile and Argentina in a month-long itinerary. bad timing from their part. They were set off after the death of Eva Peron in July of that year. So they were 6 days into their journey by the time that happened. But the tour went ahead. They played Chile first in Santiago, beat them comfortably. Then Des O'Brien's team played a host of Argentinian club sides before two tests against Los Pumas. The Irish rounded off the tour with a game against the University of Buenos Aires, winning 19-11. Now, this is the same university at which Che Guevara was completing the final year of his medical degree. He had taken that sabbatical, that famous sabbatical, to tour around South America on a motorcycle, and that was the one that really informed his revolutionary ideals. But there is evidence that he came back, and the dates do line up. And according to Ireland's second row, Paul Traynor, an injury to the student's hooker required him to be subbed off for Guevara, who had never played hooker before, so couldn't perform a line-out throw to save his life. But again, as we mentioned earlier, his tackling was brilliant and left several players fairly feeling the after effects. Apparently, claret was spilled when Traynor was tackled by Guevara at one point, and he went by the nickname Fuser. And the Fu comes from the Spanish term El Furibundo, the raging bull. So that tells you all you need to know about it.
Now, given that Limerick's such a rugby-mad city, it's extraordinary that Guevara actually ended up in the hostelries of Limerick one night.
Yeah, so Guevara's flight had been forced to land at Shannon Airport one night in March 1965 due to either heavy fog or a mechanical failure. The reports vary. Arthur Quinlan, the Irish Times Shannon Airport correspondent, as he was known, had previously secured interviews with dignitaries such as Harry Truman and Princess Margaret. They'd been passing through the airport, and he left at the chance to interview the man who had become one of the most famous faces in history. A brief interview ensued. Guevara was in no mood to talk about politics or where he had been. He'd in fact been in the Congo to try and stage a coup there unsuccessfully. But he wanted to talk about his Irish ancestry and went into where his dad and where his ancestors were from. After that, Quinlan convinced Guevara and his entourage to venture into the town, visiting Hanratty's Hotel and the White House Pub in Limerick, both still there, as my information tells me. He was three sheets to the wind when he got back to the airport, said Quinlan. He was also festooned in Shamrock as it was coming up for St. Patrick's Day. So you can take it that he enjoyed himself in Limerick. I'm sure rugby was probably one of the main themes of that conversation.
I wonder, was he featured in the museum, which is now going to close in Limerick?
Well, we'll never know, will we?
Never know.
Anyway, never was.
Che Guevara's night out in Limerick and much more besides his passion for rugby. Cameron Hill, thank you very much for joining us. And that's all we have time for today. A reminder that our items are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to on the News Talk app, powered by Go Loud. Just search for The Pat Kenny Show.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.